Blog Talk Radio.
Buckle up and get ready to ride this cosmic wave of knowledge. Talk Radio. It's time to reach beyond the limitations of your mind. A time to travel where the impossible is now possible. As we travel around the world in search of the truth. And now, author, international clairvoyant, and Earth Mysteries investigator, Betsy Lewis.
Betsy Lewis.
Welcome to Stargate Radio, everyone. It's been a while since I hosted my own show, and it's such an honor to have Bob Luca as my first guest. Bob is an ET experiencer, or maybe an abductee, whichever you want to pick. He and his wife, Betty Andreessen Luca, became internationally renowned by several books authored by Raymond Fowler in the 1990s. The Andreessen Affair, excuse me, I've got some allergies going, The Watchers and The Watchers 2. Betty and Bob became the most researched and heavily documented alien abductees through books, magazines, TV and radio shows, and newspapers. But sadly, Betty passed away in 2022, and we lost an amazing spiritual lady who left us her beautiful illustrations of their encounters. In 2012, Betty and Bob penned their own book, A Lifting of the Veil, and that's available on Amazon. It's a great book, so I encourage you to read it. Both of them tell more about their ET experiences and the harassment by government agencies. So welcome to the show, Bob. It's great to have you on, and so far, so good. Are you there, Bob? There you go. Are you there, Bob?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Are. I can. Oh, here we go.
Lost me for a minute.
Yeah, for a minute. I don't know. It automatically mutes people. I don't know why it does that. But anyway, you're here. And all's
good. You hear the voice in between?
No. What'd you hear?
I heard a voice in between. When you couldn't hear me, I heard a male voice.
Really?
Really?
Oh, here we go. Uh-oh. Okay, Bob, stop that.
It's always fun, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, I've got a lot of questions, and I know you've got a lot of things that you want to cover, but I wanted to talk about your earliest experiences. And I know so many people have been abducted as children. And did that start for you as a child?
Oh, yeah. I was 5 years old, and Betty was 7 years old when we had our first experiences.
Wow.
Mine was not an abduction. Rather, a craft came and hovered over my swing set, to the left of my swing set, and we had a victory garden back then, like everybody did during World War II. And it was a small, disc-shaped craft, and as it tipped, it had a glass bubble on top, and I could see what I called two little people inside, and they were they looked like the typical grays today that we see, and they beamed a light right in my forehead, and it was about as thin as a pencil lead, and it was bright white, and it struck me in the forehead between the eyes and a little bit above, and I was paralyzed. I was stuck on my swings. And they told me a few things. They said that they had been to people all over, in other words, all over the world, and that they were preparing something for mankind in the future that would be good, and that when people like me and others that had seen them see them in the future, we won't be frightened. And they also said that people that they had visited would meet each other over time. And that sure has proved to be the truth with me, because I've met many people that have been abductees and so forth. And, well, let's face it, that's basically how I ran into Betty under very strange circumstances. So they were correct. They led us to others that had similar experiences or sightings or abductions, and apparently there is a reason for it. They have an agenda, a plan. The ones, and I'm just speaking of the ones that we had experienced, because there are a number of groups visiting Earth. These say that they love mankind, that they want to help mankind, but that we have advanced too fast in technology and far too slow in spirituality. And they said it is better to lose some than all. And that's what makes me wonder what's coming and how many are we going to lose. Because usually when they say something, it turns out to be correct.
You know, the one thing that I think, if people understood that they are being monitored and checked every day, are their thoughts, their actions, you know, their words and everything. And I know you talked about that, that they monitor us, you know, the benevolent ones. But,
absolutely.
You know, when are people going to realize that, you know, that there's karma for their actions? They're horrible, you know, violent actions. People are just nuts nowadays.
Yeah, they're going to, they don't realize it, but I was told, not by the Greys, but the big, the very tall ones with white robes and pale skin and white hair, the elders, yes. I was told that what you do here, what you do on this earth now, is going to determine what happens to you after you leave your body. And they told me very clearly, your consciousness survives death. You do not die. Only your body dies. Your consciousness goes on. And that consciousness may be put in back on Earth. It may be put somewhere else. But what you do here now is going to determine where you're going and whether you're going to suffer a very hard life to make up for what you did before, or whether you're going to another place. But it all depends on how you are on this Earth. This is like a training ground, I guess you could say.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, it's so amazing. You've had all these experiences, and I know that you were told, both you and Betty were told, that you're chosen. And so what do you feel that you were chosen for? What, I know there's other people, abductees, that they claim they've been chosen. So what's going to happen? What do they have in mind for you?
Well, we pondered over that for years. You know, chosen for what? What are we supposed to do? And then we finally figured out back then, I mean, when this happened, it was in the 60s, in a totally different time than now. And we finally figured out it was to show with credibility that these things are happening and that these beings are real. And the one thing that they kept impressing over and over is that love is the answer. That was the main message of everything they had to say, can be boiled right down to that, those few words, that love is the answer. And you can see it when you look at the papers or the TV today, the news, it's so lacking. People are so at each other's throat for the least little thing. I mean, it's foolishness. The love is just not there. And it's going to cost us dearly.
You're right. You know, it feels like there's a spiritual war going on right now, you know, and there's a lot of satanic stuff going on, too, right now. So there is this war against, you know, the good people, the white hats, and, you know, the dark hats. And So who's going to win this war? I think the white hats are.
Well, you know, even if we get killed off in this world, if you're a white hat, you're going to be fine afterwards. So you're nothing to worry about. You know, I think Jesus said, don't worry about those that can hurt the body or something to that nature. I'm certainly not a biblical scholar, but I remember hearing that. So you don't have to worry about what hurts the body, because the essence of you or consciousness is not going to die anyway. You're going to go on.
Right.
Another thing they told me that was one of the investigators asked while I was under hypnosis about why there's evil on the earth,
Yes.
And the answer that they gave me, they said that the Creator had given us free choice. Well, you need more than one choice in order to have to make them. You can be anybody can be good or evil. And that's where it comes down to what you do in this life. You want to do evil? Fine. You're going to pay for it in the next one. You know, and it's so simple. It's actually beautiful when you look at it like that. But most people don't get it.
I wonder if other worlds are like that. Yeah, that's right. They don't. And, you know, I see the – I'm looking at your book, you know, Watchers 2, and it does say that. And you answered the hypnotist, there will come a time when evil will be wiped away. That time is not close at hand. So
right.
We're looking sometime way in the future, it sounds like, because look at the way we are, the violence, and why does, you know, there's a lot of theories that aliens have caused, and, you know, not the benevolent ones, but the malevolent ones have actually used something in our DNA to make us violent. Do you think that's possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely,
yeah.
I think it's possible. But the other thing you got to remember, that book, I think that those hypnosis took place around the 80s. So it's already been a few years. So we might be getting closer than you think.
I hope so. I hope so. Did they ever talk about some huge event, catastrophic, apocalyptic event happening, like the Earth shifting or something like that, that would wipe
They didn't exactly say that, but they did say that things were going to get much worse before they got better. So you kind of have to scratch your head over that one and wonder what they mean by much worse.
Right.
I think things are pretty bad right now. I think don't we have a lot of volcanoes erupting right now and things of that nature?
Oh, boy, do we. Yes, and earthquakes. I mean, there's been just tons of earthquakes in the last couple of weeks. And I usually attribute to a lot of the solar stuff going on, and we don't have a full moon until June 5th, I believe. So it's kind of strange that all this stuff is going on right now. And I think, you know, our emotions affect everything in our world and maybe beyond, you know. Emotions are really powerful, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, thoughts, even your thoughts can affect things. I'm going to tell you something about Betty that is very unusual. Betty and I and our niece and nephew and another couple were having coffee in IHOP in Lake Worth, Florida. We had been to a church service, and we went and were having coffee, talking. And Betty puts her spoon in the coffee to stir it, and she pulls it out, and a bowl dropped right off of the spoon. So we asked the restaurant if we could keep it. We got back. We gave it to Ray Fowler. He sent it to a metallurgical lab, and they had no explanation whatsoever of how that could have happened. On another occasion, the car key bent. Yeah, the car key bent on Betty, and she just put it between her two fingers and pulled it and straightened it right out. She had she wasn't aware, I don't think, of the ability she had, because on another occasion, when I was taking flying lessons, I had a solo license at that time, which means I could fly alone, but I snuck off to another airport and had Betty meet me there, and we took off and we went up toward Massachusetts. Well, she got kind of nervous. All of a sudden, all my electronics stopped working in the airplane. Okay? I couldn't find the omnidirectional beaker or anything. So I'm what the heck is going on here? Well, she got all scared because we were over the Quabbin Reservoir up in Massachusetts, and it's all like big swamp and whatnot. So she was getting a little fearful. She thought we were going to Canada. And I said, no, we're not going to Canada. Well, I knew the Connecticut River was to the right of us, so I just turned to the right. I followed the Connecticut River back. I landed at the airport we took off from. And I'll be a son of a gun. No sooner I dropped her off, I took off again. Everything in the airplane started working again.
Fine again.
So
She had some kind of magnetic ability, didn't she?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I've seen things
that bend or move and stuff like that. But I don't know if she was afraid of it, but she didn't try to control it at all. She kind of avoided it. So I guess she didn't want to pursue it any further. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. I think both you and Betty have had past lives together, many past lives. So I feel that you're just that connected. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I believe so. And we had some other strange paranormal things happen in all of the houses we live, but one in Meriden, Connecticut, we'd see the two girls could swore that they saw me downstairs when I was upstairs. And we'd hear footsteps, the lights would go off and on by themselves, things like that. But the weirdest thing, one morning we came down, our bedrooms were upstairs, we came down to the kitchen, and the kitchen had a nice crown molding all around between the ceiling and the wall. All the crown molding was on the floor. All the finishing nails were still in the wall. And then we had a big stainless steel spaghetti pot, and they're, you know how they're rolled at the top? They're very strong. Mm-hmm. And that pot was, it was split right down the side. And then our in the cabinets, our glasses had white marks on them like somebody etched them. And it drew the interest of a professional photographer from Massachusetts. He came all the way down to our house in Meriden just to photograph that pin.
So oh, my gosh. You know,
yeah, it was very, very unusual things that had happened that I think are associated with the UFO phenomenon. I mean, I don't know any other reason.
Right.
And then for years, I've had a problem, and I don't talk about this often, but, you know, I'm getting old enough now. I really don't care if people like it or not, so it doesn't matter. I've had a problem for years where now and then I see things that just aren't there, and I see them very clearly. So
me too.
And really? Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. In the early days, I thought maybe I had a brain tumor or something, so I went to the doctor. He sent me to the hospital. I had brain scan, brain wave checks and all that stuff, and everything came back normal. But I don't know what caused it because there was two things close together. One was a UFO abduction. And the other, I was struck in the back of the shoulder and the back of my head by lightning. So they seem to think that something rewired my brain. I don't know which caused it, but many times I see things just as clear as I can see my hand in front of my face, and I know there's nothing there. So
you know what I think, Mom?
What's
that? When you were talking, I just got this feeling that because you've been in this other dimensional world, and I know Betty was taken to, you know, like a hospital, you know, with the aliens and watched someone dying and their soul leaving. And we know that they have the ability to walk through solid objects and everything else. So I think that you've been on that other side and you've probably brought that with you. It's still around you.
Oh, yeah, it's still here. I know that for sure.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that the ETs, are they ETs? Are they time travelers? I know Raymond Fowler kind of thought maybe they might have been time travelers. Or are they dimensional beings? Or what do you think?
Well, the different types, I'm not sure about time travelers, but I do believe that there are ETs and interdimensional, because sometimes the craft just appear out of nothing. And that makes me think they're probably interdimensional and they can pop in and out of here when they want. But I'm not sure about time travelers. I'm sure in the future we will develop it, but I don't know. For instance, all the beings that I saw outside of the elders, none of them looked human. But the elders look very human. They could, if you put a suit on them, they could pass on the street for somebody that was just plain pale or never got in the sunlight. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. I know there's a whole group of tall whites that are based here that have permission from our military to stop and do maintenance on their craft and all. And I believe it was Richard Hall, I think. I can't think of his name right now. But he finally, after he got out of the military, he finally started talking about it where he was based, where he saw them on a regular basis. And he said they have a base here on Earth, and it's approved by our military, where they stop to do maintenance on their craft and things of that nature. I think people are going to be very surprised when a lot of this stuff comes out, because they've been here a long, long time, probably even before we were here, you know?
Millions of years, probably, right?
Yeah. And how do our archaeologists and other mainstream scientists today, when they find things like a human footprint inside a dinosaur footprint, well, they just try to pass it off like it never happened. But the fact is, there it is. You know, I think all of the history we've been taught in school is more than likely wrong. I know a woman, archaeologist, and she told me, a long time ago, she said they're more than reasonably certain that the Egyptians had electricity, because if you get into the pyramids way in, it's super dark in there, and yet they never found any carbon or anything on the ceilings,
right.
If you burn torches, there's going to be carbon on the ceiling. So they had to have some way to see what they were doing in there. And probably they had the Baghdad battery. They could have made that on a bigger scale and had electricity. Who knows?
Yeah.
And Abydos, they have etchings of what looks like a helicopter and some other strange things, right? Military things. And, you know, they've kind of, you know, said that that's not possible, you know, that it's something else and they carved over it or whatever to make it look that way. But I think you're right. I think, you know, that the Great Pyramid was a great generator. It had incredible properties, and maybe that came from Atlantis.
Right. Well, you know, even just for the heck of it, one time I built a little pyramid to scale, and you could take a razor blade and put it inside that pyramid, raised up about an inch off the floor, and face it north and south like the real one. And you know that darn razor blade wouldn't dull; it would stay sharp.
Wow.
That's an experiment, because there's some kind of field that the pyramid creates, and I don't know if it's magnetic or what, but that razor blade would stay sharp as long as I left it in there. So
that's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you about medical examinations that you and Betty went through. And did you feel that they were creating hybrids from, you know, the DNA, your DNA and Betty's DNA?
Absolutely. I've never talked about this before because this really bothers the hell out of me. But at one time when I was taken, they did show me a young, I think it was a male. It was a gray hybrid, and I felt very emotional about it, and like I thought it came from me, and under hypnosis it actually had me crying and whatnot, because I couldn't do anything for it. They took it in a visit with me for a short time, and then they took it away, and I thought, I can never see it again, I can't do anything to help it. And back in 67, when they did my examination and all, they did take sperm from me, so you know, I put two and two together. I thought, that's probably mine. And Betty had been called or brought aboard a craft one time because, you know, they take seed and they take fetus from women. Well, they bought this woman, and for some reason they couldn't calm her. Usually they don't have a problem. They put you, you know, like you're numb or whatever, or relaxed. So they brought Betty aboard the craft, so that another human would be there with this woman, which she put her hand on a woman's head and she was talking to her. Meanwhile, they took two fetuses from this woman. And Betty drew a picture of the woman, and the whole event that happened during that time. And I think I know who that woman is, but she says she's not. So I don't know. The drawing that Betty made matches her just about to a T. And this woman has been abducted. I know that, but I can't say anything because I can't prove it, and she won't fess up to it. So we'll just leave it at that for now.
She probably thinks you're crazy.
Well, she can't really, because she's had experiences herself. So,
well, yeah. Oh, okay.
You know.
Right.
But
wow.
They did say that they replenish. And what they meant by that, Betty was on this huge craft, and inside the craft there was a lake. And in that lake there was many, many fish. And what they did, they stopped over a lake, another lake, and they opened the bottom and let all these fish and water go into the lake. So they're allegedly helping mankind. And I sure hope so, because I'd hate to think that the other ones are the ones that are controlling things. But the whole phenomena is so involved that it's hard really for anybody to get a handle on the whole truth, because while the group that we talk to seems very benevolent, there are some others that aren't. And that bugs me when somebody comes out and says, well, I'm an expert as far as the agenda of the aliens. My answer is no, you're not, because there are many groups of aliens and they all don't have the same agenda. You know, if I'm an expert on anything, it's my own case, nobody else's, and I don't comment like on Travis Walton or anybody else, because I wasn't there. They were, I wasn't.
Right.
It's that simple.
Right.
You know, and although Travis Walton, I believe he's reasonably honest and whatnot, but I can't say what happened to him. Or Betty and Barney Hill had an experience just like ours, where their phone was being tapped. And it was being tapped from nearby Pease Air Force Base. And let me get into this for a minute. Betty and I were on vacation. We left about 2 o'clock in the morning, packed up our trailer, and headed out to Florida. Well, we didn't tell anybody. And that was on a Sunday morning, about 2 a.m. And then Tuesday or Wednesday, two FBI agents showed up at my job, and they wanted to know where I was. Well, nobody could tell them because I didn't tell anybody. So, and that, by the way, was written up. Connecticut Magazine researched that, and they did check with my coworkers and whatnot to make sure I was being honest. And several of my coworkers witnessed these guys come in looking for me. Well, when we got back from Florida, the guys at work told me, so Betty and I went down to the federal building. And we got an agent and said, why were you guys at my place of employment? And, of course, their answer is always, well, we can neither confirm nor deny and all that, you know. So I said, well, look, while I'm here, tell me. I said, why are you guys tapping our phone? And this is the exact words that the agent told me. He says, you know, we always get blamed for that, but in your case, it's Air Force intelligence. That's what the FBI agent told me. So I guess I could believe him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But
yeah.
Also, they exposed themselves. I knew that they had us under surveillance. But by going to my job, they pretty much exposed themselves. You know, the fact that they were watching us. Because when we left 2 o'clock in the morning, they lost track of us. And
isn't that
in
something?
The house... In the house.
Well, why?
Well, because back, you got to remember, this was back in 1980, when the 79, the book, or 80, the book came out. And they knew we were legitimate, and we were a threat at that time to their program on secrecy of the UFOs and all. In the past, they had been very harsh on some people that talked about the UFO phenomena. They they were pretty bad. We were treated worse than the mafia. Our phone was tapped. We were followed by cars. We had black helicopters everywhere we went, whether it was New Hampshire, Florida, Connecticut, at home. The IRS was kind enough to keep track of my taxes for me for 4 years in a row. So, you know, it was pure and simple harassment. And it lasted, it started in 1980, and it lasted until 2004. So
wow.
You can imagine the kind of tax dollars that were spent on putting us under surveillance when all they had to do was come and ask, you know,
right.
And we would have told them. Today, I wouldn't tell them the time, what time it is. Simple as that.
Well, you know, they wanted to silence people, and I know a lot of people just vanished. I mean, you know, or had strange accidents that, you know,
oh, yeah.
Sound a little strange, you know.
Well, that's why we kept in the public eye as much as we could. I figured that was probably protection. But we were warned. We were doing a lecture at MIT in Massachusetts, and during a break, Dr. Hynek walked over to Betty, and he just quickly said, he says, stick to philosophy. He said, leave the military out of this, because we were, it wasn't Betty. I was chasing after the military and filing freedom of information, things like that, and they weren't too happy about that. And then we were doing a lecture in Phoenix, and during a break, a guy came over to me. I didn't know the guy, but he was obviously military. He's probably about mid-30s. He had a buzz-cut haircut. Shirt was buttoned right straight down, even with his belt buckle, sharp crease in his pants, black shiny shoes. As soon as he approached me, I thought to myself, military or intelligence, one of the two. And he said, because I was doing a lecture at that time on the helicopters, and he said, the only reason we're sending the helicopters is so we don't have to hurt you. So I just thanked him, and, you know, he went on his way, and that was it. Another time, Betty went out to go to work in the morning, and she come running back in. I said, what's the matter? She says, come look at my car. So I went out to her car, and in the back there was a big, like a pickle jar, like a half-gallon pickle jar, and there was a big chunk of dead rotted meat in it. So I think somebody was trying to say you're dead meat or something like that, you know. But
horrible.
Yeah, but they never really did anything. And, you know, we had some fun with them, too, because when I was younger and growing up, I was a street racer. I built hot rods and raced a lot. Well, two or three of the cars that were following us, I was able to get behind, and I got their license plate, and I gave it to Larry Fawcett, who was a police lieutenant. When he ran the license plates, they came back as unissued. So the only people that are driving or that have access to unissued plates is your alphabet, like CIA, FBI, so forth, like that. And then I said on the air that these people must have been amateurs because it was so easy for me to pick them out. And I don't think they appreciated that much. But it was so obvious what they were doing that it wasn't even funny. And they knew where we were all the time. And let me give you an example. And this is, I still don't understand how they did this. I know they bugged our house. I had a friend that was, he was an advisor to the White House. And one day he came to the house, and he waved me to come outside. He wouldn't talk to me in the house. And I said, what's the matter? He said, last week, he says, I was at a CIA meeting. And he said, these people are talking about you guys. He says, be careful. Keep your eyes open. So, you know, I thought, oh, what the heck are they going to try now? Well, unfortunately, it was only a few weeks later. They broke into our house sometime, I don't know, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. I heard a voice out in our kitchen. And I went to get up. And we had a big dog, a 120-pound German Shepherd, and he slept at the foot of the bed on the floor. He tried to get up, and his front legs went right out from under him, and he came down right on his chin. Mm. And I thought, I thought, oh, something is not good here. So I reached in my nightstand where I had a 38, and that's the last thing I remember. I woke up in the morning with a rotten, a nasty headache, and so did Betty. We went to work. She got home. She said, you know, she said, my left arm has been killing me all day. I said, gee, that's funny. My right arm's been hurting me all day. Well, I'm left-handed. She's right-handed. So we took our shirts off and all, and each of us had approximately an inch and a quarter diameter black, not quite black, like a dark blue and tan mark on our arm, with a right in the center of that was a puncture mark. There's suckers dripped. They drugged us in our own home. And
oh, my goodness.
I think that would be the CIA. I don't think the FBI does those operations. So anyway, I called our doctor, and I said, look, if I go to the hospital, I said, well, can they do a blood test and find out what's in there? And he said, no, mm-hmm. no. He said, it's too late. And then I thought of calling the police, but what am I going to tell them? I think a government agent dropped. So, you know, we just had
right.
to let it go.
Right.
Because otherwise we'd look like a jerk. But how they tracked us, I don't know. And here's a prime example. You know, okay, Patricia used to be a psychologist. And we went to her home. We were doing a private lecture for her and a group of her friends. Mm-hmm. And Betty finished her talk. And I just started to talk about the helicopters. And all of a sudden, you're whop, 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 whop. And there's about 20 people there. And we all saw a black Huey circle the house. So we figured, okay, that's coincidence. And then a few weeks later, we were doing a private lecture for a contractor in Meriden, Connecticut. Betty finished her talk. I started talking about the helicopters. All of a sudden, whop, 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 whop. Again, it was about 15 people there, and everybody saw the mm-hmm. helicopter come around the house. Mm-hmm. So now I'm saying that can't be coincidence. It's, you know, twice.
Yeah.
And almost a month later, we were in New Britain, Connecticut, doing another private lecture for a dentist and his friends. And I'll be a son of a gun. Betty got done. I started talking about helicopters. One shows up. So I don't know how they tracked us and could hear, although there is an old movie called Blue Thunder, and they said all the technology about that helicopter in that movie was in use then, and they could hear you speak from 3,000 feet up, and they could see through the walls of your house. So,
scary.
Yeah, yeah. And then on another occasion, I went in a gun store in Connecticut, and Betty was sitting in the car out front, and this black helicopter comes along and stopped right over the gun store while I was in there. They were hovering over the store. And fortunately for us, there was a reporter from the Meriden newspaper across the street. And he came over and he talked to Betty, and he witnessed it. Just before I came out of the store, the helicopter left. But they were hovering right over that store. For whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know what they were looking for, but maybe they didn't like that I was buying weapons, you know.
Sure.
They showed up everywhere. When we went to Florida, our niece and nephew said, "Oh, we knew you were coming." I said, "Well, how did you know we were coming?" "Oh, we saw the black helicopters." I said, "Great."
Oh my God! Were those unmarked helicopters, Bob?
I tried to trace those down for years. They had no markings. They were all black, not olive drab, but flat black. And I finally found one I got close enough to in an area where I shouldn't have been. And they do have numbers, but the numbers are black and very close to the black on the body, so that if you get within like 15 feet, you can see the numbers. So they're legal, but on the ground, you will never see the numbers when they're flying over. That's how they got away with that. So,
you know, Bob, I want you to talk about your healing, because I was thinking about the Phoenix event, and so many people, Dr. Lynn Kaiti was saying that she had a healing after that event in 1997, and I know you had something you were going to talk about.
That's right. Okay. I had heard, for years, I did a lot of heavy work. I started out as an automotive technician, and then I became the transmission guy where I work because nobody else did them. And they were, transmissions are pretty heavy, especially automatic, so you're repairing them, you got to flip them around on a bench and whatnot. And I finally hurt my back really good. I mean, I was out of work for over a year. And I had gone to several different doctors. The pain was bad enough that they prescribed narcotics for me, and I wouldn't take them. I said, no, I won't take that. I said, just give me Advil, 800 milligrams of Advil, something like that. So to make a long story short, I ended up going to the hospital, and they said I had degeneration of three of the discs in my back and also in my neck. So their solution, they wanted to go through my mouth and slice the back of my neck. Yeah, and that's where they put a metal rod in your neck. Yeah, they go through your mouth to do it. And I said, no, that ain't going to happen. And then I ended up going to a surgeon, and she said, well, you need an operation. And that was it. That was the solution. Well, I never had the operation. But one night, I woke up, I woke up kind of early, and my T-shirt had pink stains on it, and my underwear was on backwards. So I thought, you know, it wasn't like that when I went to bed last night. Well, this happened like two or three times in a month. And lo and behold, that was in 1998. And now we're in 2023, and I haven't had a back pain since, and I haven't had any surgery either. So I believe that ET healed me. Somebody did.
I think so, too.
I still have the x-rays from the hospital that showed the degeneration of the spine. And yet, a few years ago, I did hurt my back here working in the garden. I went to the chiropractor, and they took x-rays, and it didn't show any degeneration of the spine. So, voila, that was
proof.
A beautiful thing. And I know of other people, Carl Higdon, who was an abductee, he had tuberculosis, and his lungs were scarred. And after his abduction, when he was returned, they examined him thoroughly, and all the tissue in his lungs had been restored. There was no scar tissue anymore. And then there was a young girl who had an extremely enlarged heart, and they said she wouldn't live to be 20. And she had an abduction experience, and lo and behold, when she went back for her normal checkups, her heart was a normal size. So they do heal people. There's no two ways about it. Obviously, that's the ones that are beneficial to us. I don't get when people say, abductions are terrifying. And I think that depends on the person. You know, I would rather be abducted again than go to the dentist, put it that way. That's just the way it is. I mean, I have no fear of that. And in fact, I have been told that I am going to have another abduction. And this was from three other people that are psychics, and they told me that. And my answer is, okay, I'm anxious. When are we going to go? You know, I'd love to have the opportunity because those people are so advanced. They have so much knowledge. My God, I'd have 1,000 questions.
I would, too.
Yeah, right. Don't know if I'd get them answered, but, you know. And there's too many people today still don't realize what's happening in the world around them. I had a bunch of naysayers on my Facebook over a comment I made. And, you know, I don't really care. I don't take it personally because I know they don't know what's going on around them. But
no, they're ignorant.
The fact is the United States has had their own UFOs for years. And it was first brought up by Ben Rich, who was the CEO of Lockheed Skunk Works, where some of our most advanced aircraft come from. And they were actually making them. He said back then, he said this before he died, he said there's two types of UFOs. He said the ones they make and the ones we make. And one of the main differences, the ones we make, you can see rivets on. The ones they make are perfectly smooth and seamless. The ones we make aren't quite as able performance-wise, but nevertheless, some, especially some of the triangular-shaped ones, are ours. They belong to the United States. And so many people don't even get it yet that we're that far advanced. It's a shame. He also said, we have the technology to do about anything you can imagine. He said, we can take E.T. home. He said, but... He says, all this technology is so tied up in black projects, it would take an act of God to get it out to the public. And then recently, we have a new UFO. It is a fellow named Dr. Salvatore Caesar Pius. And he invented this new craft that can perform equally as well underwater, in the air, or in space. And I said this to a few people, and they told me basically I was full of baloney. So here we go. It's got a patent number, and the patent number is 101-445-32. It was signed off on by this Caesar Salvador. It was signed off by the United States Navy, and it is operational and has been operational since 2018. So if people want to argue with me or think I don't know what I'm talking about, they can go to the patent office and check it for themselves. But this is just the latest one. We've had others long before this. But people just, I don't know if they can't accept it as their reality or what the story is. But some people really jumped on all over me for saying that we have, the United States has UFOs. But it's true.
Yeah, of course they do. And it's probably those triangles, those giant triangles that don't make any sound. People keep seeing those things, and I think that's our military.
Oh, yeah, it is. I've seen one fairly close. Actually, the darn thing went right over me where I was. I was up near Washington, D.C. at the time, and I happened to spot one, and it was huge for one thing. You're talking like a football field flying over, but triangle shaped. So you know, we've got stuff that you can't imagine, but the technology is being kept from the people because it would put the people, the money manipulators, out of business. And
sure.
I mentioned this to you before we went on the air. When I was in Florida, I worked as a hydrogen fuel cell research technician. The company I worked for had developed a unit that was the size of a refrigerator for your home. It made heat, hot water, and electricity, had no moving parts, and absolutely zero pollution. So this would be a great thing. You put it in your home, you never had to worry about power failures or anything like that. You never had to buy oil for it. Well, while we were working, ExxonMobil came in for a visit. And about a month later, we went into work in the morning. There was a big sign on the door. It said, go to the Ramada Inn, one of the conference rooms. And we thought, oh, boy, we're going to go into production now and start making these things and selling them. And instead, we were met by attorneys from ExxonMobil, and we all got fired. That's how we started our day. And the thing is, that was in 2000. And you cannot find those anywhere on the market today because they just shelved it. They own it now. They shelved it, and they're covering their own assets so that people will have to keep buying oil for the furnace and, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
It's a shame. Very greedy. This country is, you know, I don't know if you heard this lately, and this is going to a killer for Big Pharma. There's one man started it. This guy had cancer, small cell lung cancer, and it had gotten to his liver, to his bladder, to his bones, and he took some medicine that is made for deworming dogs.
Yes.
And in 3 months, all his cancer was gone.
Isn't that something?
Other people started trying it. And there are a number of people now that are coming forth and saying they've been cured of their cancer from this dog medicine. And it's been on TV, and, you know, the guy says, I know. He said, people think I'm nuts. But he showed the proof. The doctors told him. He said 90 days to live, maybe, if he was lucky. And all his cancers cleared up. And there's another fellow that just came forth with the same thing, and all his cancers are gone. Well, you can imagine that Big Pharma would go nuts over this because you know how expensive chemo is. They make millions. Well, even without chemo, when I've got prostate cancer myself, and to Duke University Hospital, they said, okay, well, we have a medication now. You don't have to do chemo. He just takes four pills a day, and so I said, okay, that sounds good. And they said the pills are $5,500 a month. So I told the doctor, I said, well, I think I'm going to die. And they said, no, don't worry, we'll get you help. And they did. They got me financial aid for the medication. But, God, can you imagine that for 1 month for the pills? You know, it's all about money.
It is. And look at ivermectin.
Yeah.
Right, for COVID?
Yep.
Yeah. They didn't want you to have that, of course. They tried to stop it and all the monoclonal treatments. They stopped that in Florida because people were getting cured. They wanted you to have the vaccine, you know, the deadly vaccine. Yeah.
It's just like high blood pressure. If they cure the blood pressure, then you're not going to be taking pills for the rest of your life. And
right. It's
so easy to cure high blood pressure, it's not even funny. My wife had it, I had it, and we came across a video called Super Juice Me, and at first I thought, wow, what a bunch of baloney. So we tried it. We did the program for about 10 days, and my wife's blood pressure went from being reasonably high, like her top number was up around 160, down to 110, okay?
Wow.
And mine dropped like that. And it was just
what
from... Well, you
what
can go
it?
On,
just
put Super Juice Me in the search window on your computer, and they did a whole video on it. It's this guy that his mother died of cancer. She was misdiagnosed, and he wanted to figure out a way to help people. So he took in people with 28 different diseases, and he put them on this diet, which is just fruit and vegetable juices for 28 days. One guy that he took in was on 52 medications, okay? And the guy had, they gave him 2 years to live. He did this program for 28 days, and the guy left there, went back to his doctor, and they took him off of 50 of the medications. There was another guy that had IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, and he came in, he was only in his 30s, and he started, he was in the bathroom about 10 times a day. He would bleed and whatnot. He had pain. Mm. 28 mm. days, the guy left totally cured. And they checked on him 2 years later, still totally healed. But Big Pharma doesn't want you to hear that stuff. It's all tied in with money, with the UFO phenomena, with technology, and with the greedy people that manipulate the money on this earth. And that's why everyday people need to wake the heck up, see what's going on, and realize you don't need Big Pharma to be cured of things. You don't really need the oil company if they would release the technology. Right now, there's over 5,000 devices that are highly efficient that have been classified by the government just so we, the public, cannot have access to them. So what does that tell you? They're protecting their money, their power structure, because once people don't need the electric company or the gas or oil company or Big Pharma, there goes the people that control the world's finances, and they don't want that. They'll fight to the death to preserve, you know, to keep things the way they are, the status quo. So
exactly.
It's a sad, sad situation. But that's the way it is. And, you know, little things people don't realize. I took my car, one of the older cars I had, and I made a little small hydrogen generator, put it in the car, and the car used to get 30 miles to a gallon. After I put that in, I was getting 50 miles to a gallon consistently. Okay.
Oh, how cool!
And it cost me about $60 to build the thing, and anybody could do it with a little bit of knowledge.
Sure.
So the way the cars are today and the mileage they get, now that could change drastically. There's many things that could be done, but then the oil companies won't be very happy.
That's
so,
right.
And especially, yeah. Well, you know, you never see a UFO pull into your local Shell station to fill up. So,
not yet.
You know that their power supply is far superior to what we're using.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's right. We've got a few more minutes. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, that is what the government doesn't care if you know there's aliens, but they're scared to death of us getting that technology, and there goes the need for all the big trillion-dollar companies.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the end of that. But, it's sad in a way. It's so sad that our country is like that. And everybody, if you look up in the past, there's been a half a dozen people that have invented things like Myers invented a car that ran on water.
Mm-hmm.
And he died before he ever got it marketed. There was a guy in Canada that invented what they call a vapor carburetor that would give you fantastic gas mileage. And before he could get it patented, he died. And this happened to five other people. They came out with super efficient devices, and they all died before they could get it out. And do you think that's a coincidence?
No, it's not.
No.
Of course
no,
not.
No, you're darn right.
We've got just a few more minutes. I put a little more time on there, but I wanted one thing that I wanted you to mention, because I love animals, and I believe they're sentient beings, and I think they have souls, all the animals on this planet. I mean, they've seen how intelligent squid are and things like that, and whales, but you were told something by the ETs. Can you tell us
that? The tall white, the elders told me that we do not realize the importance of the animals, and furthermore, those that were that would do harm to animals intentionally, those people are going to be very surprised at the punishment, at what they are going to suffer for the way they've treated animals. Because most animals, especially dogs, they just give you love, period, unrestricted.
They do.
Right. And when you harm those animals, you're putting some black marks on yourself for what happens when you leave this plane and go into the next. And it's going to be quite severe from what they told me. So, you know, and I don't feel bad about it, because anybody that would hurt harmless animals like that, they deserve whatever they're going to get. I don't care. I don't like people like that. Anybody that mistreats animals, to me, is not a good person or nobody that I would like to know anyway.
That's right.
Very important.
That's right.
And they do have, because they have emotions, they have a soul, a spirit.
They do. They do.
Yeah, and they're gonna move on just like we do. In fact, I wanted to ask Betty if one of our dogs was with her, and I forgot. I did find out recently that her two sons that died in a car crash were with her. And she must be quite happy over that.
They are there. They are. Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think you probably saw that we had a dog that passed away about a little over a year ago. And 10 days after he passed, he passed away in my arms. You know, we had him euthanized because he had a bad heart after 15 years. And 10 days later, he started pushing our bedroom door closed. I mean, we would watch it. I even got it on video and put it on YouTube. He moved that door all the time, and he'd shut it right in front of him. We knew it was him, just the things that he would do, because he had learned how to push doors, you know, a few years before he died. So we knew it was him. And he was here until we got our new puppy. 4 days before we got our new puppy, he stopped pushing doors. And so we thought, well, he knows now that we've got someone to take his place, and everything's fine. But they do have souls. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I never mentioned this anywhere, but not too long ago, I saw Betty's presence in the hallway here. I'm laying in bed, and I saw her walk past the door in the hallway when I was laying in bed, and I almost fell out of bed.
She's there.
She's here. She's here almost constantly. And I can feel her presence pretty strongly, sometimes. So no doubt in my mind that she's around here. And she's guiding me from something I don't want to mention, but there's something going on in my life right now that she's guiding me with. Maybe I can tell you at a different time.
Okay. Well, I'd like to have you back, Bob. There's a lot of things we didn't get to cover. There's so much that went on with your abductions and what you were told. So I'd like to have you back again sometime. And I want to thank you so much. It was such an honor having you on the show and talking to you. Fascinating. And
I always enjoy talking to you, Betsy. You know that.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're great.
Thank you. And I want everybody to go out and buy Lifting of the Veil on Amazon, Betty and Bob's book. It's a great book. And before we go, how would you like people to contact you?
The best way is right on my Facebook page. It's Robert Luca. And you can't miss it. It's picture of me standing next to my favorite airplane, which is a Piper Tomahawk. If you see that, that's me.
Great. Well, again, right. Thank you, and have a great Memorial Weekend.
Oh, thank you, and you do the same. I enjoyed talking to you immensely, Betsy.
Thank you. God bless you.
Same to you. Thank you again now.
Thank you. Now, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And I just want to remind everybody, next week, June 1st, MUFON investigator Preston Dennett joins my show on the healing of UFOs and undersea UFOs. So thank you, listeners, and have a great weekend. This concludes the show.